gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some totes, because it's time for Fatal Four Way Radio with your host, Minister. Brought to you in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, everybody doing today? I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and you are listening to Fatal Four Way Radio, Wrestling's Podcast Authority, Professional Wrestling's Podcast Authority. with me on the line today, I have Batman on the phone. Batman, are you with us?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, lurking in the shadows. I'm here, lurking in the shadows as usual, man. Lurking in the shadows, but I'm here to serve justice that needs to be served. So, have a good podcast
there you
today,
go.
Man. It's a Friday. A little late, but
Batman,
better late than never.
Right. We are a little bit late. We are a little bit late, but we had some problems. It was announced. It was all announced. Everything was cool. So, you know, we announced it that we were going to be a little bit late this week. We had some things going on. As you know, I'm in the hospital right now, man. I had a procedure done. I had a penis reduction. So, that's not even funny, man. That's not even funny. But nevertheless, also with us today on the phone lines, let's see here, we have Christian from Philadelphia. Christian. Christian,
hey,
how are you
guys
doing?
How you doing? I'm doing great. We're going to have some fun today.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun today, man. It's going to be all right. There's a lot to talk about, man. So much news this week. And Joe Bates is not with us yet. He might be stopping by. I'm not sure yet. Also, Don Pablo said he would be stopping by. But, you know, if they do, they're more than welcome. If they don't, you know, we're still going to have a show today. So either way, let's go ahead and get this started off right now. Well, man, you know, I'd like to get into the predictions a little bit, but we're going to save that for when everybody's around, man, because we had some interesting thoughts. And then at the end of the show, if nobody else shows up and if it's just us, I will reveal who the winner was. And, so stick around to the end to hear that. But, man, we had Money in the Bank this week. Took place in Chicago, Illinois. And, man, it was, you know, I thought they planned it out poorly. I thought it took forever. The buildup just took way too long. I thought, you know, I went to a show during the buildup. It was here in Houston. It was 2 weeks before the go-home show, or it was a week prior to the go-home show, and I thought I was actually getting to go to the go-home show. So, I was disappointed because it was just a bunch of crap when I went to go watch it. But nevertheless, we finally got Money in the Bank. And man, I have to say, I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view for the build-up that it had. I didn't think the build-up was all that good, but I thought that the pay-per-view itself, they delivered, and I actually enjoyed it. Batman, what about you, man? What were your thoughts on that pay-per-view?
I think it delivered too, man. I think, yeah, we did mention that in the other podcast as well, that the buildup was kind of taking a little while. We're used to getting pay-per-view now since the network's been on every 3 weeks. But this one took almost a month and a half. But at the end, they ended up delivering, and, I mean, they did great, man. Even the big cast and the Daniel Bryan match did really good. Nia Jax did awesome. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll get to that later. So,
yeah, it was good as a whole. Christian, your thoughts on the pay-per-view, as a, did you enjoy it as a whole, man?
Yep, I enjoyed the pay-per-view, except for one individual that ruined it. That was Charles Robinson, and you'll find out why. Charles Robinson ruined the evening.
The referee?
Mm-hmm.
Charles, oh, man. Huh. Well, you want to go ahead and spill it for us. What happened?
Charles Robinson?
Yeah.
This is the guy that I told you about on Monday Night Follow, Minister. The one that said that he said that the Chicago crowd disrespected Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal. He's the one who said it on Twitter, Minister.
So wow, wonder what if there's going to be any consequences for him moving forward with that. Was he bashing it, or but what was he doing?
No.
I missed that.
He said he dared call that match a great match. He said the match was a great match.
Between Jinder and, oh, my God. Wow, I need to keep up with the news a little bit more. And, you know, I thought I did a little bit better job on the news this week. However, we will get to that later. And, yeah, so obviously Robinson said that the match was a great match. Wow, that is pretty shocking. So let's see here. We had Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. You know, I did want to touch on that a little bit. Because that was one of the matches. And, you know, I had been saying that Big Cass had to win this match. I even said that on my prediction on Monday Night Fallout, that Big Cass has to win this match. You know, but overnight, man, I started thinking a little bit more. I thought, man, you know what, man? I think they're done with Big Cass. And I called someone on a prediction. You can go back and listen. I said, hey, you know what, man? I think WWE is just done with Big Cass. They've had enough. He didn't reach for the brass ring the way they thought he should. He should have put a little bit more effort in his reach, you know, in his quest to grabbing that brass ring. He didn't do it. I think that, you know, the way Daniel Bryan beat him, I think that's it for him. Or I said, I think that's going to be it for him. Daniel Bryan beats him. He said that on Monday night on Fatal 4-Way Radio last week. Sure enough, and everybody agreed with me, except for Christian. Christian thought it would be a DQ. Somehow, I don't know who he said was going to win, but he said it was going to be a DQ. Oh, yeah, he said that Daniel Bryan was going to get DQ'd because he wasn't going to stop the beating on Big Cass, is what you said, right?
Yeah, it would have made more sense.
Yeah, I would have liked that finish, though. That would have been a great finish, and it would have, you know, pushed the feud forward. But obviously, we find out, you know, Big Cass gets fired. So, indeed, he was on his way out the company, and that he didn't even get future endeavored. But nevertheless, they did put on a pretty good match.
Yeah, he didn't even get future endeavored, man. Not even close.
He didn't even get future endeavored. So, you know what? Let's just jump right into it. Batman, what are your thoughts on Big Cass getting fired, man? Batman?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Your thoughts on Big Cass getting fired.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was actually going to go there, but I have a tendency of cutting people off on accident. It was expected. Honestly, the match was his last match. If he was going to go out, he went out pretty damn good because he did actually really good compared to all the recent little travesties he's had. I think it was time for him to go. He didn't deliver, man. He didn't deliver. Either injuries or his promos were lame. This and that. Something's always wrong with his leg. So, hey,
yeah,
Carmelo's money, bro. Carmelo's money.
Yeah, I had read something about that. One of the reasons was that Kevin Dunn wanted some time with Big Cass to go over a promo. And apparently he didn't show up for his assignment to go, you know, work with Kevin Dunn on the promo. Ended up cutting the promo, and it ended up going way too long. Christian, did you read anything about Big Cass and his firing, and what are your thoughts on his firing?
First of all, two sides are at fault for Big Cass's release. Big Cass and the company. They made this man feud with the most over guy in the company. Of course he was not going to win that feud. And Big Cass, because he decided to do business for himself, because he had backstage too. He wanted to do business for himself, and he was not very that good. Also, let's take a what-if scenario right now, guys. If Big Cass were to get over as a big heel, who do you think they were going to pin him against later on in the road? John Cena. And you know what's going to happen? You know what happens after that? So, yeah, Big Cass is going to go nowhere.
Either way, he was going to go nowhere. So, yeah, apparently, you know, that was it. He didn't even get future endeavored. So, let's see. Another match that was kind of strange and that we're going to talk about a little bit. Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley, man, had a quick match. Sami Zayn got him with three vertical suplexes before finally covering him with one hand, no less, for the win. And then, of course, it was announced that Sami Zayn with the torn rotator cuffs or whatever, and so he's out until WrestleMania season next year. So obviously that explains that feud and why all of a sudden it came up. And, you know, it blistered in a way that nobody really cared for it. Sami Zayn, though, he did grab my attention. To me, he can be, you know, he's a great solid worker in the ring. You cannot take that away from him. He had never put himself in the spotlight in a way that I found him appealing until here recently. However, I don't think that Bobby Lashley was the right opponent for him. But, you know, they had to do something with both guys to keep them moving forward, or at least Bobby Lashley. And so I guess they fed Sami Zayn to Bobby Lashley. They ended up writing him out. Sami Zayn will now be out until, you know, WrestleMania season is what they're saying. Bobby Lashley moves on to whatever he does. But that was a way of writing him out. Batman, your thoughts on Sami Zayn getting written out and the program dying just as fast as it came in?
About time. I think I said that in the last podcast. I really didn't care, man. That match was just a throwaway match. They didn't really do anything. I guess he was injured and everything, but, I mean, it's just where they get. I mean, look at where Bobby Lashley went off the Raw. It's still nowhere, so, I mean, not much to say about that, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Christian, your thoughts on Sami Zayn, you know, getting injured or being injured and working injured and finally taking time off to heal himself?
You know, they say that an injury is a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H is that very example. This
yes.
is what I want happen when Sami Zayn returns. I want him to still be a heel and betray Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens turns face and faces Zayn as a heel. Role reversal.
Ah, man. I wouldn't mind seeing Owens as a face. He's pretty darn entertaining. Moving on, let's see here. We have, we had a WWE Intercontinental Championship, man, with Elias and Seth Rollins. What a freaking match. And then they didn't pull the trigger on Elias. They ended up going with Seth Rollins only to have Seth Rollins drop the title. Which we're going to get to that one when we do our Raw talk. But nevertheless, that was a heartbreaker. I thought Elias should have won that match because to me he is far greater than Dolph Ziggler could ever be. Nevertheless, it was Seth Rollins winning the match on that. Batman, your thoughts, Seth Rollins?
What happened in the pay-per-view or Monday?
Yeah, the pay-per-view, and I guess you can go ahead and touch on Monday. I mean, they're related. They're tied into it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I was really hoping for Elias to win, so I don't know really where they're going with it this time. But I'm not disappointed with Dolph Ziggler because it sounds like they're going to see something against Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. So I'm actually kind of interested in this. I want to see where they're going to go with it, you know. Dolph Ziggler came and went out of nowhere because I know that the last time he just kind of dropped it there, didn't he? He won it and then just like let it go to the next night. So they're real.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about Dolph is that guy has talent. I don't care if people can say overrated, but talent is talent. I see him as like a Kurt Russell of the WWE, you know, just like that rebel guy. And I wasn't too into the 80s hairband thing, but He's got Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect in him, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, this new edge that Dolph has, I'm kind of digging it right now. I'm kind of digging it. Christian, your thoughts on Seth Rollins dropping the title the very next night, man, after that badass match against Elias?
Two things. One, I'm telling you, they're doing a Diesel and Shawn Michaels thing with Dolph and Drew. So that's why they need the Intercontinental title. And two, I think I know the reason why Elias didn't win. There is a rumor surfacing that Elias is going to face Lesnar for the Universal Championship at SummerSlam. And if Elias doesn't win, Braun Strowman can cash in and become the new Universal Champion.
Now, I could see something like that happen.
I heard it with Finn Balor. The same scenario, but with Finn Balor. Especially if you look on Raw, he did mention that Finn Balor was his buddy, right? So it could lead up to that.
Most definitely.
But Finn Balor needs to turn heel. He needs to turn heel, Finn Balor.
Does he really need to, though? I mean...
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Because Finn Balor, original Bullet Club, Finn Balor was the shit. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they got over to begin with. That's why it became a worldwide thing. That's why it's still there to this day, even though there's other people in reincarnations of it. It's because of Finn. He was an awesome heel. So I agree with that. Maybe he would turn heel in that time, during that little run.
Because
we had
the smiling, waving thing isn't working. That's every face now. It's every face. Everyone's smiling and waving like an idiot.
Boy, that Finn Balor sure does smile a lot, man. It's almost starting to annoy me. And now that you mentioned it, I just might be annoyed next time I watch him. But smiling, it is starting to get to me, man. You're right. He's always smiling. He's starting to look like that one guy, that Apollo Crews out there, man. So we had the women's Money in the Bank ladder match next, guys. It was Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Ember Moon, Lana, Natalya, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair. And let me tell you something, man. As soon as Alexa Bliss won this match, I told my chick, and I told my friend that was there with us, I said, hey, look, and Alexa Bliss is winning the title tonight. There's no way they put the case on her. She's not going to hold on to the case. She doesn't need it. She's cashing in tonight. Man, I'll be darn sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Let's see here. We had another match. We had some matches in between. We did have some matches in between, including a stellar match with AJ and Nakamura that we'll get to. But we'll get to the end of the match here, or the end of the close to the end of the pay-per-view with Ronda Rousey against the champion Nia Jax, and we'll do that match as well here. So in that match, next thing you know, Bliss comes in with the briefcase, hits Rousey, or hits Nia Jax, disqualified. Rousey wins by disqualification. She cashes in the Money in the Bank, wins the title. Everything is upside down. It was complete chaos for me. I was like, I was elated. I was so happy that she won. I did not see it coming, and just out of nowhere, she ends up winning the title. And I was just like, I was loving it. But at the same time, what does this do to all the other women that were involved in that? They could have probably maybe used the title or used the push more than Alexa Bliss. Batman, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I see where you're going, but I still feel like Alexa Bliss is the one that still goes over more than any of them. Because there's a lot of the lines.
You were one of the very few that called Alexa. Hey, you were the only one that called Alexa.
I called both of them, yeah. And I think it's just the fact that she's just got the whole package, man. There's some in the matches that don't need really anything, and there's some that are just kind of floundering around that even if you gave them something, they're still going to flounder anyway because they've already been given the opportunity. So Alexa, she just delivers. And, I mean, like you said, what a good way to go ahead and get it that night and then cash it in that night.
Yeah, I thought it was done brilliantly. When she won the case, I knew she was going to win, and that was it. And I was going to have two matches gone wrong for me, just like that. Christian, your thoughts, Alexa Bliss winning the ladder match and cashing in on the same night to regain the title.
You know, Minister, I love you, man, and I love Alexa Bliss. But it comes to a point where you're kind of getting tired of her winning the belt so many times that you need somebody else to win the belt. Like, you know, like have someone else, not Nia Jax, God forbid, but have someone else. And also, I heard the news that the women were bummed that the Ronda Rousey match was in the main event. They were bummed out.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that, that there was some rumblings going on and that there was several women backstage that were completely bummed out because the match was supposed to headline, and then it ended up going before the men's match. So I did catch the rumblings on that. Batman, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that they, you know, didn't make it as the main event. Just some things are just the way they're going to be. But, I mean, with the election, I see where he's going. I see where you're going, man. But it's just, again, there's others that really don't need it, that are just they're just the way their storyline is going. It's just not the time. And then there's others where, like, you know how Sasha or Bayley, like, yeah, you want them to. Kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, Becky, you can see. Maybe that was a tester. Like, does she still have it? And every time she went up that rope, every time in the ladder, you would see the crowd just stand up, get on their feet. So I think they're building up because you saw in SmackDown, they were giving like seedlings of, she's just got the crowd behind her. She's got, you know, she's the crowd darling. And I think they're going to, it's leading something to her. So I can see why Alexa's still winning, you know what I mean? Everybody's kind of, just they're playing their role right now. And that's, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
there's others that do need it. There's others that need it, but it's just not just yet.
One quick question.
Christian?
Who had the worst women's title reign? My vote is on Bayley because she didn't even win it clean, the belt.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Who has?
There's some people that have gotten
the
that
worst. What?
That I mean, the worst title reign since they went with the women.
Oh yeah.
Since they've had the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's an example though, that there's some there that have gotten that chance and just fell flat, like with the Sasha Banks. She's already been three times or something like that now, but every time it's like, I didn't remember. It felt like it was just one
complete
time.
Yeah, she's had
it
for like maybe a month total in the three
yeah.
times she's
no,
had
she only
it.
Had
maybe
it for like,
cumulative 1 month.
She had it for like 1 week. 1 week.
Yeah. But guys, while we're on the subject of the women, I heard that there was a huge women's announcement coming up. Did anybody hear anything about that?
I heard
There's
something
big,
about it, yes.
The big, huge women's announcement coming up. And I want to say it's going to happen sometime around the time that they're doing this whole thing over there in Europe. Supposedly Triple H is supposed to announce something. There's speculation that it could be a pay-per-view for the women, only women. Mm-hmm. There's some speculation out there. There's also speculation.
Well,
based on what something that Shawn Michaels said that he wouldn't doubt it if the women get their own program, which I have also thought about that as well and mentioned it here on Fatal 4-Way Radio, that I would not be surprised if the women do end up getting their own hourly program or two-hourly program once a week. I mean, they can do anything. So a pay-per-view for only women is not far-fetched to me. Batman, what are your thoughts on this, man? Could this happen eventually where they do? Obviously, to me, a women's pay-per-view is not too far off. I can see that coming, especially now that they have a network. But what about their own program, kind of like NXT, kind of like, you know, 205 Live? Is it possible that WWE could be gearing up to do something like that, Batman?
I honestly, I hope not, because if they do, if it's all women hour, then it's going to be forgotten, kind of like 205. 205's got its little spots, but it's just there, kind of like our main event superstars. So I just wish, all they need to do is just integrate the stories a little better, and that's it. And all women's pay-per-view, maybe, maybe because they're doing all these different specials all the time, like the one they're coming up with Australia that's coming
yes,
up.
Yes, yes.
So I mean, maybe they could because there's women's independent companies out there like Shimmer and I forget there's another one. I mean, Glow was such a huge success. But that's a Netflix series now. But yeah, Glow is a success. There's other ones that are out there. But my point is, yes, I think if they did a little pay-per-view or a little special for it, then yeah, because they've already headlined NXTs and already pay-per-views, and they've done fairly well. So, but just not an hourly show. I don't think so. I think an hourly show is going to be like you're just going to get all the women there and you're going to forget about them. It's going to take that taste out of your mouth. And they're on a roll right now. You know, so I feel like it'd mess it up.
Christian, your thoughts on that? What about the women?
Well, if they do this, then they're going to make Raw even look more bad because every show besides Raw has been great. So, you know, they're going to make Raw even look more fucking terrible.
I'm interested to see where they do go with this, if indeed they do go anywhere with this. There's a... Go ahead.
Also, this company, man, is such a bitter company. You heard about the whole New Japan Pro Wrestling thing?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
What about it?
That they block success for New Japan because New Japan is doing more successful than the WWE right now. This company is bitter, dude.
Well, I don't think no one's ever gonna get to. They're just too mega. They're just too juggernaut of a company. No one's ever going to get close to WWE, not even touch them. But there are companies that pull out better pay-per-views or better events. Yes, that goes without saying because there was just like WCW did it at a time, AWA, NWA, Mid-South. There were territories that just blew other, you know, some shows out of the water. But as a whole company, no one will ever touch WWE, but New Japan, yes, their stuff is. I mean, look at Chris Jericho. There's a reason why he went over there. That's the reason why he went against Naito and Omega. There's a reason why he's a ten time IC champion right now. You know, there's a reason why, because that company is on fire. But no, no one will ever beat WWE. They're too global. They have too much. They got their own network. There's just no way. The end all be all is always going to be them. And that's okay. They're not, no one's perfect. I think people forget that sometimes. Nobody's perfect. It's just with the delivery that matters, not how we get there.
Yeah. Nobody is perfect. But you know what I was thinking about last week, though? Even though we're running a little short on time, I still have to say this. I was thinking the other day, what if Jericho is over there right now doing his bidding for Vince McMahon, and we just don't know about it, and they're going to do some kind of
like a spy?
I think that's what's going to happen. I feel like
especially
that's what's going to happen because in his podcast, yes, in his podcast, that's what he talks about, how people ask him, well, how did Vince react? He's like, oh, he acted fine with it. He knows the power that there is. I mean, they used to do it back then. All it is just the territory days are coming back around, except they're not territories, it's independent. But they're doing the same thing. Intermittent shows, man.
Interesting thoughts there. Let's move on now. Man, this next match, Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. They left it all out there in the ring, man. What a freaking match. I mean, they beat the crap out of each other, man. I loved it. Thoroughly loved it. The finish, though, I really wanted to see Nakamura win. I don't think Styles needs a title right now. They ended up allowing Styles to keep the title, that is. I was reading about it, and they say because something about that they wanted AJ to be holding the strap when he was announced as the poster boy for WWE 2K19. So I thought, man, that's just terrible, terrible, terrible. It could have been planned a little bit better, but I guess they couldn't have. In reality, they couldn't have let the buildup for WWE Money in the Bank go one more week, man, because it had just been so freaking lackluster up until that point. But nevertheless, Nakamura is out again. This was his fifth time, I think. If I'm not mistaken, his fifth time to lose a world title match. So I think he'll be out of the title picture. I don't think he'll ever return to the title picture. But does he need to? I'm going to start with Christian.
No.
Chris, does he need a title at this point? Or is he over enough to where, you know what, nah, titles don't matter?
No, it's too early for him. It's too early. They're pushing it too early. He's not ready yet. It's like with the Jinder Mahal thing. It's not ready yet. He's not ready for a world title picture now. Right now. He's not ready. He's fine with Jeff Hardy. He's fine with the Jeff Hardy feud right now. I think he'll be a fantastic heel United States champion. My only complaint about the feud is that he couldn't at least win once by a DQ. That's it. If he could have only won once by a DQ, that would have been fine.
That would have been cool. I would have at least enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed it if he would have won at least once. You're right. Batman, your thoughts. Nakamura, does he need the title? Does he need the top title? Or will he be all right with,
I don't think he needs it. I mean, it's gonna be time where he's going to have it, because then it's going to go flat. But he don't need it just now. I think they're still building it up. And here's a point I want to bring up. Too bad Joe Bates isn't on yet, because I know he'd be thinking the same thing I am, that he didn't cut an Asian, like a Chinese promoter. But he said he counted too fast, and he didn't count in Japanese, and that's unfair. So he's kind of integrating the Japanese thing there a little bit, yeah. So I'm a little happy for that.
I took notice on that. And, you know, I really enjoyed that match, and I was sad to see Nakamura lose. And, you know, up until recently, I didn't think anything of Nakamura. He wasn't doing it for me, but AJ Styles and Nakamura, man, this feud was just off the hook, man. And, I mean, there was a while where I didn't even want it to stop, and then it just kept on going, but Nakamura never did get the win on that, so it was, you know, we move on, though. We move on. Let's see. What's next? Women's championship match. Let's see here. Let's get to it, man. The Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Rusev, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, The Miz, Braun Strowman, and Kofi Kingston. And on this one, I had been calling Braun Strowman all along. The night before our broadcast, I ended up changing my call. I even called Braun Strowman on Raw, I think. And I changed my call on our show the night before and decided to go with The Miz. I had some kind of convoluted idea that The Miz somehow was going to win the case. And yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Nevertheless, Batman did get it right, though, with Braun Strowman winning the men's ladder in the bank match and also calling out Brock Lesnar. Says when he sees him, he's going to cash in. Batman, go ahead.
Well, I did call it out, but without mentioning that, yeah, I did see other guys going over Finn Balor, the other ones, but Braun Strowman is the one that's going to have it. That guy's over. He doesn't need it. I don't think he needs it. He don't need the money in the bank. Like, he can just integrate himself in another way because he's just a monster. But I could see why they did it. You know what I mean? Like, with all the spots that they had with the beating him up on the ladder and then, you know, KO, when he threw him off and all that stuff, he had to win it. He was just the main man going into it. So I'm not surprised.
I think they're going to make it to where they're going to protect Brock with the title for just a little bit, at least until SummerSlam, like everybody is saying. And, you know, I think that they're going to protect him with the title for a little bit. And then, you know, Braun is going to tease him. Braun is going to tease it. They're going to tease it. There's going to be a lot of teasing going on. But I do think that that title will change hands at SummerSlam, like everybody is saying. Christian, your thoughts?
Here, I agree with Batman. I didn't think Braun needed the briefcase. I think somebody else needed it, like Samoa Joe or The Miz. But you know what? This could be a perfect opportunity for a good storyline and turn a little certain someone heel. Here's what I think should happen. Braun Strowman gets ready to cash in on Brock Lesnar, but then Bobby Roode comes in and stops the cash in and turns heel.
Bobby Roode. Here we go again with Bobby Roode. don't get me wrong, Bobby Roode, he needs a heel turn in a bad way, man. He is looking real bad out there as a baby face. I can't even stand the sight of him anymore.
You know what? If you notice in the match too, and you're right, Christian, that the Christian Atlas, sorry, in that match, he didn't have a lot of spots. He was like down and out pretty much the whole time. And if he did, it wasn't very noticeable, right? Like Bobby Roode just kind of floated, like waited around, you know, just in the waters kind of thing. He just was there, but it wasn't much of an impact. I don't even think I remember seeing a glorious. If I did, it wasn't that much of a glorious, I guess.
He's not glorious right now, man.
He needs to be healed. He needs to get healed. That little heel tactic he did with Braun in the ladder, yeah.
He could be notorious.
Ah, I like that. Hey, he could be.
He could be.
I love that. You heard it first right here on Fatal 4
Way Radio.
It was
on the dream.
Professional Wrestling's podcast authority. Let's see, Asuka and Carmella, and I think we all pretty much had an idea that Carmella would retain, and that's exactly what ended up happening with James Ellsworth, Batman. James Ellsworth, he's back.
Didn't I say he was going to come back? Did I not just say he was going to come back? He came back. I didn't say how, but I knew he was going to come back. And even without the rumors, I just had a feeling. It's full circle. Didn't he help her with the first Money in the Bank?
I love it when you do that. I love it when they do this full circle thing. They don't do it anymore. They used to do it a lot. They don't do it enough anymore.
Yeah, they were both getting over. That's kind of what helped Mella get over was the whole James Ellsworth line series in the last Money in the Bank. And guess what? Full circle. Now she's champion, and he comes out to help her retain. And she still stays strong. So does Austin.
Yeah, and guess what? Mella is
what?
Money.
What?
Mella what? Is money.
What? Yeah, she
Let's
is.
Let's see here. I think we have one more. Yeah, Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns.
Wait, you didn't ask me about Mella.
Winner by pinfall, Roman Reigns. I think we all knew that was coming. Nobody wanted it. I don't know what they're going to do with this. We probably shouldn't even talk about it. So having said that, we will take this time right now to go out to commercial break, and we will see you right back after these words.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? You want to see something really scary?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
like that. We are back. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and this is Fatal 4-Way Radio, Professional Wrestling's podcast authority. I just like saying that somehow. I don't know how the hell I came up with it, but it sounds pretty damn cool. Batman, your thoughts? No, I'm kidding. Let's see. So I think that covers Money in the Bank. I think we went through all the matches there little by little. Let's see here. Let's move on to Monday Night Raw and do a little bit of Raw talk, guys. How about that? A little bit of Raw talk, man. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Get started with Raw. And it was Alexa Bliss's coronation, man. She had the coronation. She got the title back. Ronda Rousey's music hit. She came out. She had a big reaction, man. Big monster reaction. A chant broke out, let them fight. When Angle was trying to break him up and stuff. It got pretty cool down there, man. It got pretty cool. It ended up with Rousey just losing it. It was heinous behavior. Despicable. And, you know, she got a 30-day suspension, which she should have got she should have been fired. But nevertheless, this is wrestling, 30-day suspension. They're keeping her off of, obviously not TV. They might keep her off TV, but they're not. I heard that she's still booked. I didn't hear, actually. I read that she's still booked all over the place. So I think they're just trying to maybe fine-tune her right now at this point. Maybe they gave her a little bit of time off so she can get her shit together really nice and tight. Because you know what? Man, she had a really good showing out there on the pay-per-view. I thought her and Nia Jax, I was really, really impressed with Ronda freaking Rousey. What I saw from her in the ring, I'm still not seeing it in the promos just yet, but you know what? That kind of stuff takes time, man. It takes a little bit of work. They're getting her out there right now. Supposedly she's going to be doing the live shows. You know, hey, put the stick in her hand during the live shows, get her working on that, and then when you bring her back in 30 days, you know, she'll be good to go, hopefully. I'm pretty sure that's what their plan is, but we'll see how that develops. So right now, Ronda Rousey suspended 30 days. She beat the crap out of Kurt Angle. And she beat him down with that briefcase, and of course, she also beat up my favorite, Alexa Bliss, no less. So that's what we have right now. Batman, your thoughts? The suspension, was it warranted?
I don't think she should have been fired there, Corey Graves. Suspension. I see where they're going with the storyline. Maybe she needs some time off for this and that. But I don't know about you, but I really like the whole Ronda Rousey thing, man. She is just freaking killing it. She's doing awesome. She carried that match with Nia Jax, and Nia Jax did really good too. So
I could not believe how good she was in the ring, man. I was really seeing some good stuff out there
Ronda. Did you see that? That spot where she did that judo throw, that twist, and freaking pretty much inside out. Not just, oh, God, that's what I'm saying. She sold. In the very beginning, you can tell that she really likes this because most people who come from somewhere and then go into the world of WWE, they're still kind of like iffy. Like, oh, I don't think I should do this. No, that doesn't make me look, you know what I mean? No, Ronda has gone straight, head first, dive in. And, like, then she, the beginning, towards pretty much over three-fourths of the match, she was just selling and making Nia look really strong. And then towards the end, she had the punch spots, the comeback, the judo throw and all that. And then that's when they went and Alexa Bliss came out. But, I mean, I still can't be mad. I love Alexa Bliss. It's the best thing that ever to come out of Columbus, Ohio. So.
I think
like you said, it was a tester. She did good with Nia, and if she could do good with her, I can't imagine how she's going to do go with Alexa or with a Sasha or with a Charlotte or with an Asuka. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Goodness. Yeah, it'd be nice to see. But Christian, what about Nia Jax, man? What happens to Nia Jax from here? She held the title. It's obvious she was just a champion, you know, a transition champion. Are they done with her in title sense?
I'm afraid they're going to make her go back with the title. That's my fear. If not, then she's going to go away in insecurity. But here's two things,
just
right?
She's so boring.
Here's two things, right? One, I feel bad for Natalia. She had something, and now she has nothing.
Man, I really thought they were going to go with the way T-Rock painted that picture for us on Monday Night Fallout. He made me believe that Natalia was going to win that match. I changed my call to Natalia.
And number
you
two,
know?
And number two. No offense, Minister, my man, but this should have happened. If Ronda would have wanted revenge on Alexa, she should have broken her arm, and Alexa should have vacated the title. And then there would have been a battle royale for the new women's champion.
And you know what, though? I think Alexa would be one to pull off the cast, you know, Orton style, you know, wearing the cast for months, years at a time. I think Alexa Bliss could do something like that with the cast.
Didn't
she would use it to her
too?
Full advantage. It would be great.
I think, honestly.
Hello?
Sorry about that. I got the minion over here, or the brood, hanging out in the back. That's called Daddy. Getting excited about championships. No, I think the Alexa Bliss, her pulling off the cast like Bob Orton, I think, man, she would pull it off awesomely. And here's the reason why.
I don't know
if you remember a while back, she was doing that whole, like, not broken arm, but the whole where she can, like, overextend her arm. I think she was doing it with Oscar, right, with the same lock.
Oh, yeah, man, that's crazy the way she does that arm thing.
Yeah, if you remember when she first got in the roster, she was doing that little thing where they would do the arm bar, and then she would sell it really well. You put that little tweak, that little gimmick on there with the arm, the brace, man, she would pull it off. That's the perfect Bo Orton.
So let's see here. We have Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, and all of a sudden Dolph Ziggler is your new IC champion. Seth Rollins has the I can't believe it look. What just happened? You know, Ziggler defeated him. That's that. We have new champion. They did it. Okay. They took the title off of Rollins. Now, what are they going to do with Rollins? Are they going to elevate him to the next level? We'll start with Christian on this. What becomes of Seth Rollins now that he is titleless?
Well, I think he's going to face Brock Lesnar for the title. That's what I hope would happen. The storyline rise makes sense. It's the only storyline that makes sense. Brock never actually defeated Rollins, you know, for the title. So, and also, is it me or did they the same finish with Elias and Rollins at Money in the Bank? And they just made Rollins look like a hypocrite. He did what he did to Elias to win. That was okay. But when that happens to him, he gets pissed off. They just made him look like a hypocrite.
Dude, that is a good point, man. It did make Rollins, you're right. Makes Rollins look like a hypocrite. Batman, is Rollins a hypocrite, though?
Who, the cross of Jesus? I don't think so.
Cross of Jesus. No, but...
Yeah, he is a
cross
of Jesus. No,
I think he's moving on, man. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't somehow find a way to squeeze in a triple threat. Now, that's what I wouldn't mind seeing that. A triple threat between
Rollins and
Lesnar.
With the IC. I'm sorry, go.
Dolph.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, this kind of like a reminiscent of Shawn Michaels and Diesel. Like, Drew McIntyre is like the Diesel what is his name? Dolph Ziggler is the Shawn Michaels, and like, you know, when he won when he had the IC title or the heavyweight, and he has got that bodyguard. I think that's what they're gonna do. Like you said, you said triple threat. And I was like, actually, I think that could lead to it—a triple threat between Dolph and Drew and Seth. I could see them, and they both sell really well. Drew's gotten so much better, so I'd actually look forward to a match like that. Sorry, I just feel like I had to throw that in because you threw that little idea, and I was like, oh wait, you know what? The little twisty storyline with Christian
over there.
Yeah. I can hear Christian. That's what I said. I can hear his gears grinding.
Yeah, Christian, your thoughts.
But what would happen if Rollins wins next week the title back? What then? What was it for? What was the point?
Oh, man. Could they do that, though? Would they do that?
They actually
yes,
have
they
done
would.
It. If you follow
yeah,
the NXT, didn't they just do that? Didn't they just do that to Mustache Mountain? with the United Kingdom tag team or something like that. They just won, and then the next night in the live event or something, they won it. The guys won it back from the I can't remember, the Undisputed. They lost it. They lost it from the Undisputed, won him, and then they lost them again on that live event, like the next night or so. And it just happened recently, like, I think this week.
Huh. I don't keep up with Magic Mountain or what was that, Mustache Mountain?
I think they would. I mean, they did it with Kane. Kane won, and then the next night he lost to Stone Cold in the right in the title. He was a world champion for
like
one night.
That.
For one
they
night,
did it
same thing.
Wade Barrett.
Yeah, yeah, the same thing, same thing.
And Zack Ryder.
What great memory.
And Zack Ryder. Yeah, I think they would.
You guys
I
have.
Think they would. I love wrestling, man.
Kurt Hawkins and Bobby Roode. Do we really need to talk about this, Christian?
Bobby
nope.
Roode has fallen. He needs to turn heel. A win over Kurt Hawkins is not a win at all. Let's move on.
Yeah, Notorious. I like that, Notorious. Man, that would be great. I would love to see them change that from Glorious to Notorious. Man, that would be great. You should send that into them. Braun Strowman
like
talks about his Money in the Bank win. Braun Strowman, man, he's coming. Braun Strowman said he's coming and he's coming. Kevin Owens, they had that segment. Let's see.
That should sound pretty nasty.
The Deleters of Worlds versus Heath Slater and Rhino. We all knew Deleters would win that. You had to know that. Chad Gable versus Jinder Mahal. This was a tough match, man. Chad Gable for a second looked like he was going to go 2-0 versus Jinder Mahal. But Jinder Mahal ended up picking up the pin on that. I don't think we really need to go into that one. Sasha Banks and Bayley versus the Riot Squad. And then finally, it heated up between Sasha Banks and Bayley. They had the whole big thing at the end. Batman, where do you think this is going? Finally, we're going to get this match? Yes? No? And who wins the beer on this?
With Bayley and Sasha?
Yeah.
That I really don't know, man. See, but that's an example of what I said earlier. Those are people that, I mean, they got obviously a following, but what the hell are they doing with them? I mean, that's what I said. Those were, I think, one of the ones. Yeah, Sasha was in the Money in the Bank, right? And I mean, again, she's had the title many times, but, I mean, she just never, I don't know what to say, man. I really love those girls, but they don't, not that they don't deliver, because they fucking awesome.
You know,
ring,
I do
but,
too, man, but I have to tell you that, man. I love them too, you know. I love them dearly, okay? I'm in love with both of their booties, in fact. However, Double L.
That's a whole different
Lover
podcast.
Boy, Lover Boy, Double L, Lover Boy Lang Lloyd from Monday Night Fallout suggested last week on the show earlier this week, which you can go back and listen to right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Double L, Lover Boy Lang Lloyd said that, you know, he pointed out that Bayley is just a big old botch machine, and she's kind of slow and lazy in the ring and stuff. So I decided to watch one of her matches and pay attention to see. And you know what? He kind of pointed out some solid things there, man. I thought, you know, I saw a little bit of sloppiness with Bayley. And, you know, for someone that's been there far too long, she should maybe work on her rudiments. Go back to the basics.
You know who else, though? They're both the same. Sasha and Bayley are both the same. They both have a lot of botches constantly.
Yeah, that's why they call her Botcha. Botcha Banks.
Yeah.
So
I've never heard of that.
We could be in for a train wreck on this, Christian.
Okay, first.
Train wreck?
First, Absolution is the worst female stable ever. Those two women cannot win a single match ever. I love Mandy Rose. I think she has great potential, but they keep booking her to lose. It's ridiculous at this point. Do you all agree?
I do.
I think so. I think so because, like, I think I've mentioned in many other podcasts too that I could see a Trish Stratus in her, you know, from the modeling world, and then it starts from anywhere. Look at, I mean, she was the last one that you think would ever succeed from the Tough Enough, and she did. You know, she's the one that lasted. That lasted longer than all of them. She's done really fucking good, but she doesn't win anytime soon. She's going to be another, what's his name? Hawkins. Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, Mandy Rose looks like she has a lot of potential.
This feud between Bayley and Sasha Banks is written by 5-year-olds. It's written by 5-year-olds.
Yeah, they're like, that's what I felt. You know what? I felt the same way, like when they had that little fight, and then they're coming back, and she's like, you know what? I don't need you anymore, or something like that, right? It felt like a, like they were just literally fighting over the crayons right next to the cubbies. And then next thing you know, like when the bell rings, they're going through the hallway, and they're like, no, I'm sorry for the fight. You know, I'm done with you. But then next week, they're going to be like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, we had fun. You know what I mean? It's like, you're right. That's what I felt like. And I was thinking kind of the same thing. Like, God, I feel like they're just fighting in the freaking playground or something. Like,
well,
where the hell is it going?
And another thing is, Bayley is a hypocrite. She's the biggest hypocrite in this entire feud. She couldn't. Everything that Sasha Banks has said about Bayley has been 100% true. Bayley couldn't win the title by herself. She needed help. She couldn't retain by herself. She needed help. Bayley keeps losing and losing and losing. And yeah, Bayley's the biggest hypocrite in this feud.
Cool. Bayley. So Bayley's the biggest hypocrite in this feud. So yeah, there's no telling where we're heading in this. I mean, it could be train wreck city big time coming up. Kurt Angle had a big announcement.
I think Bayley's gonna turn heel.
I would like to see that. I'm tired of, something needs to change with them too. With both Sasha Banks and Bayley, and the sooner for me, the better. So Kurt Angle had a big announcement, man, and it was interrupted by Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley. Next thing you know, Bobby Lashley was partnering up with Roman Reigns. They were doing moves. They were out there impressing each other against the Revival, no less. And you know, the Revival, man, they went out there and they cut a promo on the way out that was actually, I thought it was, who is that? Let's see here. I thought it was a stellar promo that they had between Bobby Lashley and... what's their name? I just said their name, the Revival. I thought they cut a stellar promo out there, even though they came out to no reaction. Okay? They were talking about how they busted their backs to get one opportunity on Raw, and these so-called top guys are always standing in their way. But that changes tonight. And then they went on to challenge Reigns and Lashley to a match right here and right now. And I was like, get a ref, man. Just get the freaking ref. So Reigns ended up talking, and Lashley might pay attention and this, this, and that. They might learn something. Angle ended up booking the match. We had a match where basically it was Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley showing each other up. The Revival, to me, they got a little buried, man, to me. They got buried by these big guys. But does this help them? Does this do, like, remember when Cena would go out there and quote-unquote bury guys, and people would be, like, really upset about it, and they'd be like, oh, man, Cena's always burying people, and this, this, and that. Did they get buried, guys? Or does this give them a rub? Because people would say, nah, man, anytime you're in the ring with John Cena, you're getting a rub, man, just by being in there with John Cena. So was the Revival buried, or were they getting a rub because they were in there with two heavy hitters in Lashley and Roman Reigns? Let's go to Christian on this.
First of all, do people forget that John Cena loses sometimes, and that John Cena had terrible feuds, like with John Laurinaitis?
You know what? I missed that feud. That was during one of my off times. Yeah, I come and go to this wrestling world, man. Sometimes there's things piss me off where I gotta take a break, man.
John Cena
and
puts
during
people
that time
over
was one of my
time.
Breaks.
Oh,
yeah, John
second,
Cena does put
the Revival. Over. The Revival ain't buried. They just need to go back to NXT and regroup or take time off. They're not buried.
They're not buried. Batman, your thoughts on the Revival?
I don't think they're buried. Like Cody Rhodes says, fuck the Revival. No, but I mean, it's sad that they didn't come out with a pop, because when they first came out, their first go around, they did come out with a huge ass pop. They to me are just like the I forgot what the hell they used to be called. Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, man. Tully Blanchard. Well, no, not Anderson. Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson when they had their tag team here in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
When they were, you know, they left the Four Horsemen. I forget what they were called. The Enforcers or something like that? But, they're freaking good. The only thing is that this isn't the first time they said that. The first time they came around is, we're top guys, blah, 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 and it just fell flat. But that's just the creative. I don't think they're buried. Like, I go with Christian. John Cena don't bury nobody. Look at Rusev. I think Rusev's first feud, major feud, was with John Cena. Look at him now, Rusev fucking day. You know what I mean? So, he don't bury
nobody. You know what? We're going to talk. We're going to talk about Rusev here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Minister, can I say something real quick?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a solution about Bobby Roode. It's not really a solution. It's like a fantasy booking. I want to know if you both want to hear it.
Well, go ahead.
We'll go.
Lay it on.
Yeah.
All
right.
So this is how I should have booked
some sugar on me.
Bobby Roode. This is how I should have booked Bobby Lashley. This is how I should have booked Bobby Lashley return to WWE. Roman Reigns comes out to Raw and badmouths Lesnar like usual, but then Paul Heyman comes out. He interrupts Roman Reigns, but he says that Brock Lesnar is not the only one that has beef with Roman Reigns. Out comes Bobby Lashley, spears Reigns, and Bobby Lashley returns as a heel and the new Paul Heyman guy. Over the next few months, Bobby Lashley has become a monster heel with Paul Heyman as his manager, takes Raw by storm, and by Royal Rumble, Bobby Lashley wins the Royal Rumble, and he decides to go after Brock Lesnar. And so Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley feud for the title at WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley wins the Universal Belt, but Braun Strowman cashes in at Bobby Lashley and wins the Universal Championship at WrestleMania.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing something like that, but I think it's too far for and too long of a time for Strowman to have the case and not cash it in. To me, that would make it unbelievable, because here's this big monster with the ultimate opportunity to cash any time he wants. So I think it would be a stretch playing it out that long. But that is not something I would be opposed to seeing, though. Batman?
I honestly think, I can actually believe him to keep in the title, the Money in the Bank a while, because it'd be like a teaser, like this guy can do it at any fucking time. And you literally can believe him cashing it at any freaking time. So I believe that he can carry it however long he wants, because he can just tease it any time he wants. You know, you literally just come on and be like, should I do it today? Should I do it not? And the people in the ring are just going to be in fear, because they're like, well, shit, is he going to do it today or is he not? Bobby Lashley's story, I would have liked that when he first came in. Right now, he's too far deep in now. They're going to have to figure somewhere out something else to kind of elevate him first for him to get to that, what Christian was saying, the whole WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania thing. Because I would like to see Bobby and Brock since the very beginning, but Bobby Lashley's too far deep right now in the water. He needs to come out a little bit, you know, and then I can see that.
Okay, let's move on. You know what? My battery is running out on my laptop, and unfortunately when that happens, it's going to give out and the show will be over. So let's move on, because I only have I don't know. We'll see. Let's move on, though. Finn Balor and Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens and Constable Corbin. And, of course, the winners on that were Constable Corbin and Kevin Owens in a match that, you know, basically just featured Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's got this new gimmick, of course, where he's the constable. And so they obviously put the power of him being a constable just to get him over. And now he's hanging out with Kevin Owens. So what I find interesting right there, Kevin Owens, you know how he's looking for a friend. What if he starts looking as Constable Baron Corbin as his friend? Now he's got a connection, another connection with the higher ups, and he gets in his ear and things start happening in Kevin Owens' favor. Christian, is that something you can see happening?
Yeah, I can see that happening. Although he has to shave his head for that. Imagine if Kevin Owens shaves his head.
You know, and I could see something like that happening where he shaves his head because he wants to be like Baron Corbin or something crazy. No, go ahead. Real quick.
But in all seriousness, this is why I said that Finn Balor should turn heel. He has nothing for him right now. And the fact that he loses to Baron Corbin in street clothes, that's a bad sign right there.
Batman, what did you think of Baron Corbin wrestling in street clothes, wearing a vest and whatnot?
I was like a lame version of Corporate Kane, honestly. That's the lame,
you know,
lame version of Corporate Kane.
I think somebody mentioned that on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
I can see
Kevin Owens trying to sweet talk his way back in. I mean, that's what he did with the Authority when he first got his first run, right? With the title.
Right.
So he talks his way in, and Kevin he can close with anybody. Look at the Jericho thing, look at the Zayn thing, look at he sticks with anybody. He's really good at what he does. So I can see him trying to do that whole corporate thing again.
Right. Okay. So I think let's see here. So is that it for Raw? Do we have anything else? I think that was pretty much it, man. If I missed something, well, it was intentional. For example, I did miss Mojo Rawley and No Way Jose. But I do have this to say, though. Mojo Rawley, man, he could be one of those guys that's on the fence. Who knows? It changed his look all of a sudden. He's a new guy. They're giving him another chance at the imaginary brass ring that everybody keeps talking about, is what I'm thinking. So they're giving him this other chance. Maybe he doesn't reach, and maybe we have another firing coming up, a la Big Cass, depending on how much heat he has. Because apparently it was revealed that Big Cass had a lot of heat with him, and that was one of the main reasons he was indeed fired. So moving on, you know what? That wraps up our Raw talk for this week. So let's see. We've got there we go. We gotta cut the noise there. Christian's got a lot of background noise for some reason. But let's move along to SmackDown. And let's see, this week's SmackDown was from Toledo, Ohio. And I found it funny that Billy Kay couldn't even pronounce Toledo. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, they were saying Toledo. I thought they were funny in that segment, but I digress. Carmella and James Ellsworth came out with Asuka. That was the first segment. I skipped right over that. But let's move on with that. She was talking about how... you know, she never felt special or good enough growing up when she was younger and stuff. But she didn't just sit back. She became the author of her life, and she worked harder than everyone and saw something beautiful in herself before anyone else ever could. And she became a champion. And so what she's trying to say here is that, you know, every young boy or girl out there, whoever feels they're not good enough, they should look in the mirror and they should repeat these words: Mella is money. Yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous, you know, it's funny, but at the same time, it's getting a little stale. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know. She needs to open up the floodgates a little bit more to me. To me, it's what I'm saying. I'm seeing the same thing every week with her. And it's not like Alexa Bliss, where Alexa Bliss, you know, I started seeing the same thing with her, but then she progressed, man, and she opened up her inner heel. Her inner bitch came out, her inner badass even. I'm waiting to see that with Carmella because I haven't seen it yet. As good as she's been, I have not seen her inner freaking badass self. And I'm hoping that maybe this feud or this current situation she's in, once again with James Ellsworth, somehow she finds a way to bring this out. Because let me tell you, they did not bring James Ellsworth in just to bring him in. They brought him in so that somehow he can assist Carmella in becoming the Carmella that she needs to be. So she might be also on notice. You never know what's going on with these guys. But nevertheless, those are my thoughts on Carmella. And I thought, let's see, Asuka came out. well, no, it was somebody dressed as Asuka, and of course it was James Ellsworth. They hugged and they laughed, and James Ellsworth was talking about love a little bit, and Carmella had an uncomfortable look on her face. But nevertheless, Asuka's music hit. She came down to the ring. Ellsworth took off his robe or whatever and stepped up to her, and they started arguing back and forth. Asuka kicked him in the stomach and took him down. Carmella super kicked Asuka, and that was it, and they tailed it away, man. I thought it was a decent opening segment. I still want to see a little bit more from Carmella. I think she's capable of it. She just needs to find a way to dig it out. Batman, your thoughts, Carmella. Has she come a long way for you? Have you seen any improvements? Do you think that she will improve? Is there more to go with her?
No. I mean, here's again, this, I think I've said this many times, that the title is usually the person makes the title. The title doesn't make the person. But, man, this one, the title made Carmella, man. She's still on the roll. I see the way she won made sense. You know what I mean? With Ellsworth coming in, made sense. Ellsworth is, and real quick, too, with the whole Carmella, and that's why it works. I think that's why they work, because Carmella, out of the whole team, she's the one that survived, out of the Enzo and the Cash, right? Well, the ones that you least
Carmella
expect are the ones
the
that.
One.
Yeah, and it's the whole, with the whole people burying each other, blah, blah, blah. Well, look, Ellsworth started as a freaking developmental dude, or not developmental, but like a squash, you know, a jobber.
Yeah,
with Braun Strowman.
Straight out of the indies.
It's straight out of the indies with Braun Strowman. How old is he? That very rarely happens. They usually come and become big when they're still in their young age. No, this guy came as a jobber, and boom. Now look at him. He still got a freaking cheer. He still gets booed, but people love James Ellsworth as a jobber. So look at him together with Carmella. It just goes to show that sometimes it just depends on that opportunity. It doesn't matter how big the opportunity is. It's how you freaking, you know, get the ball and how you run with it, you know, and both of them. Obviously, you're running with it. Carmella's doing fucking awesome, and I like her as that heel, mischievous weasel kind of champion, you know. I think she's awesome. And I didn't find her very attractive. She's an attractive lady, you know, but now she's, ooh, my God, Jesus Christ. I think that title just fits her very well, bro. Sorry.
Anything you'd like to add? Or... Stop that now.
Hello? Oh, no, that was my thought. I was just saying this. So I was just going on Carmella. I was just going goo goo gaga over her.
Christian, any other thoughts or anything you'd like to dispute on what Batman said there?
Asuka's my big problem, dude. They've completely ruined Asuka, in my opinion. Like, for instance, when she loses to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, she doesn't, you know, like, be mad or be badass like she was in NXT. She congratulates her. I guess that's okay. But the fact that she loses to Billie Kay on SmackDown, and then the way she lost the Money in the Bank, where she stands still like a statue and looks dumbfounded, that kind of pissed me off, because if this was Asuka on NXT, she wouldn't care who would be this guy. She would have kicked the person's head off. And then on SmackDown, this past week on SmackDown, one kick, one super kick takes her down. I don't know what they're doing to her, man. What are they doing to her?
Yeah, I noticed that. And I also didn't agree with that. I was actually, I was kind of miffed about that. You know, how can they do this for Asuka? So, yeah, there's a problem developing there with Asuka. Where do they go from here? I think they don't know. I don't think they have a clue as to where they go from here with Asuka. So Billie Kay versus Becky Lynch was up next. And, of course, Becky Lynch ended up winning this match. And, you know, the way they're booking Becky Lynch here lately is suggests to me some type of push coming up with her. So we'll have to see how that plays out in the future. And then we had a promo with Sanity coming up, and they came up with the Usos. That was next. Let's see. Oh, there was another promo there, though. We'll scratch that. Let's see. The Usos and Sanity came out. And, man, Sanity, I had no idea it was that one guy. What's his name from Impact Wrestling?
Killian Dane.
No, the other one.
Eric Young?
Who?
Eric Young?
Eric Eric Young. I had no idea he
the guy that talks like this, Eric Young, Sanity. Yeah.
I saw him. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Is that Eric Young? And the guy said, and Eric Young. I was like, oh, man. So Eric Young in the big time now, man. He's got his own thing going. And he looked pretty good out there, man. They left the Usos laying for dead, standing on top of him and gloating even. So, Sanity, we'll go with Christian on this one first. Sanity, your thoughts, how are they going to develop on Tuesday Night SmackDown? What do you see?
I think they're gonna have a future feud with the Bludgeon Brothers, sort of like a Wyatt Family versus Sanity feud. I think it's going to be great. But I feel bad for the Usos, man. They're back for where they started. They got nothing, dude.
That is terrible, dude.
They were on top of the world, dude. They were on top. But now they're back to being the lame Usos. Damn, dude.
I know, man. But you know what? I don't really care for this. You know, I thought the Usos, man, they were doing such good work in the ring and stuff like that, and their promos have just they've gotten really good at what they do, man. But I'm not digging this whole penitentiary type thug penitentiary mentality thing. I'm not digging that. I don't know, man. Batman, anything you want to chime in on the Usos and or Sanity? Actually, Sanity. What are your thoughts, man?
I'm not really that big on them. I don't know why, but sometimes you know what that happens though. There's so many people out there that people fall in the cracks, you know, because I'll hear people, oh, this guy sucks, this guy's good, and the people that they say suck is overrated are the actual really good guys, you know, but it's just there's so much talent out there. But these guys are one of those where I'm not saying they're bad. Eric Young is obviously, man, he's worldwide, he's been everywhere, but I just don't. They're just not getting over with me. You know what I mean? That whole crazy thing.
You know what, like, sometimes I have to agree with you there, Batman. I mean, because sometimes, you know, like Nakamura, for me, he didn't do anything for me, man, until he got involved with AJ Styles. Then that's when I started taking note of him. That's when I started, you know, getting consumed with his character. His character, I thought he did a great job as far as, you know, developing himself to me. Because I hadn't really paid attention to the guy. I mean, to me, he looked like another sissy out there, the way he moved and all that. But now, it's like, man, this guy is totally, he's a good heel. He's a good heel. And so I get what you're saying there, Batman. You know, you're not into them just yet. Maybe they haven't done that one thing yet that sucks you in. So hopefully, maybe that'll happen sometime in the near future. Eric Young, Christian. You said, no, wait, did you have any thoughts on Sanity? You already said that, right? Oh, the Usos.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pointed out that the Usos, they have nothing left for them right now. Yeah, man, the Usos, it's tough to see that. It's really tough to see that. Moving on, let's see, what do we have next? SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Bludgeon Brothers versus Gallows and Anderson. Man, I thought they were going to pull the trigger on Gallows and Anderson, but nope. The winners and still tag team champions, the Bludgeon Brothers. So what does this do for Gallows and Anderson? My friend, Batman, talk about it.
Gallows and Anderson, I think, like I said, just so much talent out there, sometimes you just don't know what to do. I think they're going on a smooth ride, though. I mean, they're always, if you haven't noticed, Anderson's always getting that pop. Abs Anderson, always getting the pop. That Bullet Club fame is just carried over with him, and they've carried it really well. The Bludgeon Brothers, goddamn, are they fucking violent, bro. I still stand by what I said before. Them with the tag team, if nobody knew what the hell to do with the bar, this is what to do with them. Because the physicality between those two guys, Jesus Christ, the way they were beaten. If you look at the way they were beating the crap out of Gallows, I mean, Gallows is selling, but he wasn't selling, like, just to sell. He was selling because he was actually getting hit the fuck in the face. Like, he was really getting potatoes at him. You know what I mean? The Bludgeon Brothers and Art. And obviously, look, Gallows and Kane Anderson, look at the way they're selling. Look at the way they made those Bludgeon Brothers look fucking great. With that face plant that he did on the apron, Ken Anderson or whatever.
Nice.
Not Ken Anderson. Yeah, yeah. He did. Yeah, exactly. It was nice. He sold it well. They made them look fucking strong. So they're really good workhorses. They're good at putting people over. I like where they're going. Keep them there. I still would like to see a little bit more, only creative-wise, not from them, because they're doing good, obviously. They're still, their merchandise is selling like crazy, so I wasn't disappointed in that match. I was glad with it.
Christian, Gallows and Anderson, man, where do they go from here? Are they hanging on the fringe right now? To me, it seemed like they were going to pull the trigger for a little bit, but they didn't. So are they in limbo right now? They're spinning their wheels. Is there any hope for Gallows and Anderson?
Dude, I might have been wrong in the pre-show, but I'm going to be right in the long haul. They're going to break up the Good Brothers. I'm telling you right now, they're going to break them up. Carl Anderson is going to be the face, and Luke Gallows is going to be the heel.
You have been saying that. And you know what? Carl Anderson is a good face. He plays the baby face. Every time they slam him or he slams somebody on the ground or something like that, he always gets up and he just looks for that. He does that baby face thing, man. He is so good at it, too, man. I'd like to see that. I'd really like to see that. So then we had the big gauntlet match, man. Big E, Rusev, Samoa Joe, The Miz, Daniel Bryan. So Daniel Bryan went out there with Big E first. And, man, they put on a stellar match, I thought. But Big E got eliminated. And so then comes Samoa Joe. And, again, another man, this one was hard-hitting too, man. Daniel Bryan's chest looked like it was going to crack open. But Samoa Joe, once again, was eliminated. And then The Miz came out, Harper and Rowan came out and attacked Daniel Bryan. Miz comes in all of a sudden out of nowhere, delivers a skull-crushing finale, and gets the pin on Daniel Bryan. However, you get back from commercial, and Rusev comes and catches The Miz, and he delivers a fall-away slam right off the top. He went for the cover, but the Miz kicked out. And so we had this match, ended up with Rusev winning. At the end, it was The Miz with the kicks to the chest. He was doing the whole Daniel Bryan thing. He went for another kick, but Rusev ended up ducking. He goes for the accolade. The Miz reverses it in a DDT. He went for the cover, but Rusev kicked out. And then The Miz ran towards Rusev, but Rusev caught him with a machka and the accolade, and The Miz was tapping out. Rusev wins, so this tells me that Miz is definitely going to start feuding with Daniel Bryan. And that Rusev, and this is what I wanted to talk about, guys, Rusev, where is he going to get the title? Are they setting him up to become a WWE champion? I'd like to ask Batman first.
Yeah, because you know I'm long-winded all the time. I don't see him as I don't see him as champ just yet. But I like the build-up. I still just don't see it. You know, it's not that I don't want it. I really would like it, but just not yet. There's just something there. You know what I mean? But I like it. I want to see AJ versus Rusev. I think they pull a killer-ass match, a good clinic, what they like to call it. Daniel Bryan, I like where it's going with The Miz. I see where you're going. You make perfect sense. This is a good way to finally kind of put that exclamation point on it. If The Miz is here, it's the same thing like you. Keep it heel, keep it real. The Miz kept it fucking heel. Look how quick he came in and just fucking buried.
Daniel Bryan,
I mean?
Man.
Yeah, easily he just came in, a freaking opportunist, man. So I see that feud going on. I see Rusev putting on a hell of a match. I think this is more like of a teaser or a tester to see how he would do in a high-caliber match like that, you know, with something on the line. And and another one, Big E. Big E's perfect example. In the beginning, you saw how he was funny. He did his little things, his little quips, little gimmicks that he would do. But there were certain points, certain spots in the match where you saw the aggressive Big E. Like, this is him. This is that guy that can fucking go. Yeah, in the middle, like when he did that splash on the side of the apron. You know, right moments before that, you saw him click into seriousness. He triggered. He just switched, put the switch, and got real serious. But then in that little moment before he splashed, he did that little look like, I got you, motherfucker. You know, like he just did that little funny face. Big E is a big star, a legend in the making. I love the way I love the way he put himself over, because Daniel Bryan did a lot of putting over for the other guys, like Samoa and stuff, which they don't need help. But Jesus Christ, Big E really, he was a highlight of the match for me. Oh, and I also like the Bludgeon Brothers. The Bludgeon Brothers, they left a little seedling of the feud, because I think, remember, Daniel Bryan had a feud with them a while back, so I see something
they
coming.
They sure did, man. They sure did. You're absolutely right. Christian, Rusev, is this a push to you? Do you see him finally getting the push, and does it end in the title run? Christian.
All right, four things I have to say about this. One, I think the reason why the Bludgeon Brothers interfered is because I think they're going to plan a tag team title match between them and The Miz and Daniel Bryan. And, of course, because I think next week on SmackDown, they're going to attack The Miz next. And then The Miz and Daniel Bryan have to join forces temporarily, but The Miz causes Daniel Bryan the tag match. Number two, I'm going to make an early prediction about the Rusev-AJ Styles match right now. One, Aiden English causes Rusev the match by disqualification. Or two, Samoa Joe interferes and causes the DQ.
I see the Aiden English, and damn you and your twists and turns. You're freaking crazy with your mind and the way it works, and I love it, bro. I love it.
Listen, guys. My laptop is about to go out, and because I'm connected to this laptop, the show is going to end as soon as it goes out. So we have to cut it here.
I think we've already ended it, though.
We have to cut it here, man. We managed to somehow get to almost everything that I wanted to talk about, but what we didn't get to, we'll talk about it next week. Hey, guys, listen, man, I want to thank you guys for joining me. It's been a long, rough week for me, but here I am doing the show. I knew we had to somehow find a way to talk about it. And we came together to do it. So I want to thank you guys very much for being with me. And ladies and gentlemen out there listening all across the world, we picked up some new countries this week. Let's see, which ones are they? I can't think of them right now. I'll get to them. I'll let you know next week. But, yeah, we do have some new countries listening to us. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, for Batman and for Christian, for Joe Bates, and also for Don Pablo, who were not here, thank you for joining us on Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister, and this is Fatal 4-Way Radio, Professional Wrestling's Podcast Authority. And always remember, keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, keep it sexy. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.